Yeah, Stephen mentioned, and he was 100% correct. Obviously, it's not that too difficult to figure out that this is the last Sunday of the decade of the decade. Wow, 2020. Is it like, doesn't it like make you shake your head and say, wow, we, yeah. Not that you and I could buy, but yeah. I mean, you almost can just like honestly sit back and just say, wow, Lord, there is a lot that has happened, that is happening, and we're in store for a lot more. I believe that this is going to be a year that is, 2020 is the year, it's a year, and this isn't prophetic, I'm just thinking that there's a lot that I'm obviously seeing, and probably as much as anybody else, that there's a lot of changes that are going to be going on, a lot of stuff that's going to happen, not only in our small realm here at the salt mine, in our families, in our church, and our stuff that's in our community, but even in our country. It's going to be one of the most challenging years of our country, I believe, that we have ever faced, short of maybe the American Revolution or the Civil War days. Seems to be in those days again. And as believers, as followers of Jesus, here's what I believe that we need to be focused on as your pastor at the salt mine. And I don't like to use the term now more than ever, but it's really a now more than ever time of the year, our lives, the century, is that we need to be doing it, life, as much by the book as we absolutely possibly can. And that means, I think, having the clearest understanding. I said last week something that I think it hit me as the Holy Spirit spoke this through my lips and into my heart. And I hope you heard it in your heart too, is this: the more right we get Jesus, the more, maybe the way to word it correctly, is the more correct we get Jesus, the more our lives get right. And I think that's just all we need to be focused on, honestly. Let's get Jesus as right as we possibly can and watch our lives align with that rightness in which we get Jesus. I believe that, and I believe that's prophetic. That is biblical, and that's something that I think we need to be about as much as possible, is getting Jesus right. And I was asking the Lord this reflected on that statement that came out of my mouth, and I was like, just really like, Lord, was that right? Was that correct? I was actually having this conversation with God. He said, well, is it? He does that a lot. If you ask him a question and he asks you the question back, like to just really stop and think about it. Is it, Eric? Is that right? Is that correct? If you get me right, you're going to get yourself right. And I said, well, so here's what I started to say. Well, but Jesus, is it really just all about you? I'm serious. I just started asking these questions that I still seem to ask, and I reflect on, and I just want to get it right. And so as I asked that, I think he might have laughed like that, Gail, at me, because he brought into my memory bank, or up into my frontal lobe that is developed at this stage of my life, because I'm 50-something, that so much of Scripture, so much of His Word says this very thing, that to know me is to know the Father. And Jesus said that throughout His entire life here, is when you see me, you've seen the Father. I'm just thinking, that's so awesome, because just looking at Jesus through His Word and through our spirit and through each other, we're going to see God the Father. And that's why, so I just want to see Jesus in you. I want you to see Jesus in me. I want to see Jesus in His Word. I want to see Jesus in this world. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And that's where we get the clearest picture of God, is seeing Jesus. Amen? So I had some plans even this very morning. I had some, I think, ambitious plans to take this whole service today to do something here at the salt mine, and they've been altered a smidge. In other words, what some of you I've asked to share, asking you a couple of questions to share, these two questions is what, and one of them is, the first one is, what do you do at the salt mine? And then the other, next question is, how do you see it, what you do, that what you do, making an impact in the community of Lincoln for the kingdom of God? A simple two questions, correct? Some of you have asked that. Some of you haven't asked yet to share those two questions or to answer those two questions in front of everybody up here. You guys following me? Okay. But we're going to change it up a smidge. In other words, I'm going to share some stuff that I feel like needs to be shared about us at the salt mine and the work we do, that God is using us here as a body of believers in this community to have an impact in this community for the kingdom of God. So I'm going to share some overview stuff, some I believe where God is taking us into 2020, stuff that he's developed in us, stuff that he's started in us here at this place called the salt mine, this body of believers that we refer to ourselves as a church, right? You know what else we refer to ourselves as? A charity. Oh, friendly. I like that. A family. Okay. A family. Mm-hmm. Family to me has like a whole nother concept though, because my family is really dysfunctional. So when I say that, I'm thinking my brain goes somewhere else. And I think that also fits here though. Here, isn't it on a good day? On a good day, aren't you on your best, one of your best days, dysfunctional? Yeah. Probably on your bad days, you're a little bit destructive. Guess what? We all go to church together. We all come here and meet together. And we all call each other brothers and sisters. And we call each other the family of God. That means all of that comes in here, right? That makes it exciting. Wow. Isn't that fun? I like it. You're going to say something, David. I'm sorry. I didn't call on you.
You got it.
Oh, okay. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm getting it then, huh? Yes, Terry?
I'm going to say something, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you changed up what you were planning to do,
yeah.
We have a birthday card from Glenn.
Yeah.
And it's over here on the table.
Thank you, Terry. So this big card, I got it, I'm on it, I see it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay, so the card's, that's not for the card, right? You're good. There's pens even there too. Praise the Lord. So, excellent. Thank you, Terry. I think that might have been supposed to have been happened at the announcements, but we're good. We're totally good. Okay. So, let me share a little bit, and then I'm going to call on a few people to come up and share, some people that I feel like could share today, answering those two questions. I'm going to start with page one of my notes, not page two. Just a simple question, what is the salt mine? What is the salt mine? We're a church, a body of believers. We're also a charity, a philanthropic, I hate saying that word because I barely get it ever right, group of people that do good in this community for the benefit of this community. Do you realize that? We are. That's who we are, what we do. Blake would say we're a charity that does church. I would say we're a church that does charity. We're both right. Neither of us are wrong. It just depends on maybe what you look at it that way. In fact, probably more right is Blake, because we do charity work 5 days out of the week. We have church 1 day out of the week. So maybe the balance is like we're doing charity work in this community of Lincoln. So I'm going to talk about this and what is the salt mine, how we came about scripturally in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. I'm going to read this. This is Jesus in the best passage is of the entire scripture to me. It, literally, I could say it, and I mean it, is my favorite passage of scripture is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. So in Matthew chapter 5, right after the Beatitudes, Jesus goes in and he refers to us as an entity, and this entity is salt. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He didn't say you should be. He didn't say you ought to be. He didn't say, here's a suggestion for you as my followers. He said, you are. That is very, very descriptive, very point blank declaring who you are, what you are as my followers. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall it be salt? How shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Real quick, salt of what? You are the salt of what? It's right there, guys. The earth. Guess what that means? That means you are an antibiotic against decay. You're a healing agent in a hurting world. You are the healing agent in a hurting world. Did you hear me? You are the cleansing agent in a dirty world. We're not supposed to just be corralling in our nice little group of four walls where it's clean and healthy and everybody's sober and everybody's nice to each other. I love that. We are family and we should be nice. We should be cordial. We should be kind. Amen. But it's not just about that. This isn't what the church is not about, gathering together on a Sunday morning. That's not what churches should be about. That's not the end all of church is not about how many butts get in these seats here on a Sunday morning. Okay, I'll step off my soapbox for a second. Get back down to earth. Because it's important to me to get this as an understanding of what church, I believe, Scripture says, Jesus says, body life is like. Is you are the salt of the earth. So in other words, don't lose the saltiness. Don't lose it. Don't lose that vision. Don't let us lose that focus of what we're called to do in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then he goes on, he says, you are the light of the world. For a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. Well, let me stop there. Again, you are the light. A light is what? To do what? Penetrate darkness. Guess what that means? And it's darkness where? In the world. Yeah, you got it. That means it's outside of these four walls. You are the light of the world. In order for the light of the world to get into the world, you got to be out in the world. You got to be out doing busy stuff, making Jesus look good, showing people what Jesus looks like in a dark, confused world. Amen? Amen. I just saw something the other day talking about, because last week we discussed the identity of Jesus through the three gifts that were given, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when we get the identity of Jesus right, the more correct we get his identity, we get our identity correct, right? Amen. I saw something that kind of made my brain rattle a little bit. It was the very first transgender man gave birth from a sperm donor from his transgender wife. Basically, it was the man who was pretending to be a woman, and the woman who was as a man, they are married, and they had a baby. They did what the rest of the world does, right? A man and a woman have a baby together. Confused. The point is this. This is the dark world we live in. You are the light of it. You are the light of it. You're not the, should I be something in this world? What should I do? No, Jesus said, you are the light of this dark world. And then he goes on to say, he says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Again, it's about showing clearly who Jesus is, his identity. And when people see Jesus clearly, they can see themselves clearly. Could it be that we, the church, are missing that? Presenting Jesus to be something that he really isn't. And it's because if we are that agent to heal, if we are that agent to bring in, to cleanse, if we are that agent to actually illuminate God, why are people still so confused? I know we live in a dark world, I know that, but we are the church. We are the light, we are the salt of this world, this earth. We must stay focused on who Jesus is. That's really our only objective. Stay focused on who Jesus is. Do your good works to give Jesus all the glory and all the credit so that they will see our Father in heaven. Amen? With all that being said, we're going to talk about us as the church. Amen? And this in this passage is where we have derived the name the salt mine. Back when it was in the mid-80s when meeting together in little Bible studies and youth, we were, Robin and I were, just started dating, and we had this place called this building and didn't know what to call it. So we said, well, Jesus said we're the salt of the earth. Let's call it the salt mine. That's how it really started. This place, Glenn and Linda doing Bible studies, and I think it was more Robin than anybody that named it. She might not remember that. At least that's how I remember it. Neither Robin nor Linda or anybody's in the room that can correct me on that. So that's the truth. That's the truth. I do that a lot, though. I remember stuff. And she's like, that's not how it happened. But I think half the time I'm right, and that's okay, too. I'm married, right? Right? Yes. I want to do something here as we're going to share. I want people to share what it is they do at the salt mine. Like I said, two questions. What do you do at the salt mine and how do you see it making an impact in this community for the kingdom of God? But I want to read a passage of scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17 through 20 says this. First, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, and I love how Paul writes that and says that, as it actually is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. So if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So here's what we're going to do even this morning. I'm going to, as we share, here's what's going to happen. Individuals are going to share as a part, a member of the body. But this isn't the objective isn't to honor or even give thanks to the individuals that do the work at the salt mine. It's for all of us to get an understanding that there may be more to what you're seeing that happens in the kingdom of God in this community. And I believe as we bring it to light, as we bring glory to God, that people will see God's work in us and through us as a whole. Amen. So that's yes, individuals will share and they will get honor and thanks, but it's for the glory of God the Father as a part of the body of Christ. Does that make sense? Makes a lot of sense to me. And so I'm going to do something. I'm going to ask Stephen to come on up first, and this is kind of neat because he's going to share just a little bit, answering those two simple questions. Stephen, would you pop up here? Here he comes. And I'm just going to stand up here just in case he gets anything wrong. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just going to actually help anybody up here because I have, as a pastor, and I'll share about me too. I will take a turn. And like I said, there's people that I've asked and there's people that I haven't asked yet to share. Ha ha. Ha ha. This is all about the body of Christ, guys. And I think it's fantastic that we get to do this together, called life, called church, called family. And I love it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So go ahead, Stephen.
Hey, guys. So a lot of the time, a lot of people just see me popping in and out of places and running all over the place. And a lot of people ask me, what the heck do I actually do around here? And so I want to answer that a little bit and actually give you guys a good picture of what my week looks like. You know, on any day of the week, it's going to be a little different, but it generally looks like this. It's split up into a couple different categories. You can find me in a couple different places. I'm either down here at the salt mine, and I'm assisting and helping wherever I can to make sure that the food closet and everything's running smooth. Lately, that's been a lot less of the physical aspect of it and more just putting the pieces together because we have an amazing volunteer team, which I'm so thankful for.
Amen.
And then I'm down at the thrift store every now and then helping to make sure that our furniture side is running smooth, things are selling, furniture pieces are displayed properly because, yeah, we're a charity, we're all this. We're also a thrift store, mm-hmm. So it's a huge aspect of what we do. And then, of course, a lot of you guys know I'm the youth pastor here, so a lot of my time is delegated out to making sure that our youth programs are running fine. Now, that goes beyond just making sure that Hangout and Youth Group are actually open for that time. That's making sure that our students are actually getting what they need, checking to see where they're at, and making sure that, you know, what we're teaching is actually helping them. We're not just throwing Bible verses at them willy-nilly. It's, oh, we're asking the Lord's direction, and where are our students, and where does he want to take them, and how is that going to be done and facilitated through the salt mine? And that, as far as the youth aspect goes, I'm also connecting all of the time, almost annoyingly, with all of the youth pastors in town.
Amen.
And making sure that they know that us partnering together is an important aspect of what God is doing here in Lincoln.
You are the one being annoying to them.
I am the one being annoying to them, yes. I'm not annoyed by them, no. Almost annoyingly, I am annoying. I pester them, yes. Mm-hmm. I pester them because years ago, the Lord gave me a vision that he has a plan for this city, but that plan, there's been pieces given to individuals as members of bodies.
Amen.
And part of the plan for the youth in Lincoln, he's given some of that out to the other youth pastors in town. So if I really care about Lincoln, if I really want to see his plan come about here, I've got to partner with them. And so I've made that a priority of what our youth group is about, partnering with other youth groups. And so once a month we meet. Every week I'm talking to them and meeting with at least once of them every other week. And then we put on events every other month. And then another aspect of what we do with the youth is connecting with Devin and Joey and making sure that we have a presence on campus. And so what's happening on Lincoln High is being maintained and being pushed forward with whatever that means. So Devin shared last week we're doing an event in a couple weeks to hopefully get our students pumped up about on-campus ministry. So youth pastor aspect of what I do.
Awesome.
So all of that. And then I sum that up by just saying this. I believe that the Lord, throughout the years and currently, uses me as a member of the body to fill the gaps. And what I mean by that is he's going to use me where he believes that I am most needed and most valuable at the time. And that changes week to week, month to month, no matter what we're doing. And not only that, by filling the gap, there's skills that I didn't know I had that he pushes me into. There's interests I didn't know I had that he's stretching me into. Aspects of things that are like, whoa, I didn't know I could do that or that I should even be doing that. And the Lord's, no, I'm going to push you into that. We need this spot filled for a little bit, so you're going to do that. What's that? like marketing and a little bit of graphic design, I've really kind of pushed into that, even to the point where I'm talking to Kinsey all the time, be like, hey, what do you think about this? Or help me out with this. You're the one that's actually in school. Can you share with me a little bit what you're learning? Because now I've piqued an interest. And so filling the gaps of the aspects of the salt mine that we want to do, but maybe there's not, we don't have a job position for it. So it's like, okay, Stephen, I'm going to use you to fill that gap here for the moment, and it's going to be good. And so how do I see that in the kingdom of God? Well, I believe that the Lord has a plan for Lincoln, a plan for how the salt mine is going to impact Lincoln, and he's going to use me as a member of the body to make sure that happens in whatever way possible. And oftentimes I'm doing stuff, and I get home, and I'm like, what am I even doing? What was today even about? The Lord continues to correct me. It's about my kingdom. I know exactly what I'm doing. And every now and then I look back and I think, man, if I had my way, I would have screwed this up a long time ago. But I didn't know I needed to be there at that time for this specific reason. And it's worked out so, so good. And for the good of the community. I hope I answered the questions.
You did a great job. Okay. Yeah. If you want to share any more, go ahead.
But no, I think that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Stephen. And see, what's exciting is how Stephen opened that up is, you know, someone who fills a needed gap. You know, in other words, it's, you guys understand how our body works is when a part of our body seems to be ailing or lacking or there's something that's missing, God has designed our amazing bodies to figure out how to still function in regards to even in spite of missing parts. Right, Jesse? Amen. I mean, so as we do this, here's what I'm asking all of us to be also aware of and paying attention to something. I want you to please be aware and paying attention to this. Pay attention to what you feel and the urging in your spirit, in your heart, is what God is maybe wanting for you or called you to do and called you to be in the church, in the body, in this group of believers. You will see, and I believe this is something that God, as he sees fit, he chooses and he points out and he may pluck you and pinpoint you right where you're at to say, you're to be doing this. That's not happening here. Maybe that's what you're to be doing. Did you hear what I was saying there? There's going to be things that as we're sharing this, as who we are as a body of believers, that are lacking. I'm very aware of that. I'm not oblivious to it. I'm not dumb to it. There's much needed needs that aren't being met in our body here that people are called to do and to be. Do you guys hear me on that? So as Stephen brought up the term a gap filler, there's gaps. You're here. I heard something Jack say this morning in the bathroom as we were going to the bathroom. We have conversations in the bathroom, men do. I thought it was very intuitive and very insightful and extremely, actually, even a little bit spiritual. We had a moment together. I'm just being how it was, and this is how it was. And he said something. He said, well, if I could be complaining about anything in life, maybe I ought to be fixing it instead of complaining about it. Like, that's a good word, man. I think I need to use that one. I didn't even ask his permission to steal it, but there's stuff that you might see that doesn't happen and it should be happening. Huh, maybe it ought to be you. Just a thought, right? Let me read another passage of scripture and then I'm going to have some others come up and share. Even before I read this, though, I need us to also identify. We had Devin and Shannon share last week, and we, as a body of believers and as a church, we have we have accounted them, Devin and Shannon, as our missionaries. And yes, they're not going overseas, but they're going into a place that is, oh boy, needs missionaries. It's dark, it's confusing, and it is, there's a lot of hurt and a lot of dirtiness there that salt and light needs to penetrate. And it's this high school is in our very own country. So they are, if you will, the body members of our body that are going out as missionaries that we stand by, we support, we prayerfully and even financially back them. But let me read this in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3. It says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment." I love that term. "Each according to the measure of faith that, again, God has assigned." Are you seeing the clear picture here? This is God's doing. This is God's doing. You're a part of God's doing. I love that. "For as in one body we have many members." This is in Romans. This is Paul writing to the Romans as he wrote to the Corinthians. "And the members do not all have the same function. So we, though we're many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So let us use them. If it's prophecy, in proportion to your faith. If service, in our serving. If it's in one who teaches, in his teaching. And one who exhorts, in his exhortation. And one who contributes, in generosity. For the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy, do it with cheerfulness." Amen? Amen. So I'm going to ask Kathy to come on up here, please, sweetheart. My blessed sister. Two simple questions. Why not? She needs the mic. She doesn't want it, but I love Kathy dearly. She's been a part of our body, a part of this church, part of our family for so many years, way back when all of my kids were little toddlers in diapers. So she's special to me, but she's also special to us. So I'm going to ask you just the two questions, and I'll help you if you need help. There you go.
That's good.
What do you do at the salt mine?
What do I do at the salt mine? I wish I could speak like Stephen.
I think it is it not on? Yeah, that would.
Yes, I wish I could speak like Stephen.
He shuts it off when he puts it away, yeah.
Yeah, when Eric asked me to do this, I felt like I was getting called to the principal's office.
She's in trouble.
Yeah, I'm in trouble. And I don't usually stand out in the front. So what I do at the salt mine is, since I've had to think about it all week, which I've never thought about it before, I'm a gap filler. I love that, Stephen. I'm a gap filler. I see something that needs to be done, and if I can do it, I do it. And it's looked different over the last almost 30 years. It's sometimes it looks like bringing homeless women home. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it looks like taking needy kids home. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it looks like cleaning toilets.
Mm-hmm. Like, don't forget that all that part of it. Yep. Yeah,
washing dirty clothes for our friends that come in that don't have a home, or washing machines, cleaning the kitchen. It just changes as the salt mine changes, and we allow the Lord use this and be a gap filler. I'm stealing that.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's what, some of the things that I see Kathy doing. She's got a note back there as the kitchen Nazi, but that's because she we have appointed her as a member of our body to keep our kitchen as clean as possible, and that's needed and very helpful. I don't know. There was a commercial about 2 or 3 years ago about the coffee table fairy that I think a lot of people seem to think that if you put it on the coffee table, it will just clean itself by the next morning. You know, everything that happens here is somebody doing it. Here's the thing. Sometimes little Addie, for example, this morning, as I'm standing here worshiping, she runs up to me and she goes, Papa, where's my dad? And he was standing right here worshiping, leading us in worship. I think sometimes, and that was a good example to me, is like we see stuff all the time that we kind of seem to forget that it's right in front of us. And the people that are right in front of us are doing these things as a witness, as an example, as a actually obedient call on their lives, such as Kathy, that's making a difference, doing all the stuff that she sees that needs to be done that really nobody wants to do. And she does these things with a smile, and she gets, you know, in our ear and Blake's ear and my ear about this needs to happen. And I love it and appreciate it and sometimes get annoyed by it because she's right. And she sees this stuff and it needs to happen. That actually has a deliberate and a fantastic and amazing impact in this community for the kingdom of God. Because if you don't have somebody in there doing the stuff underneath and doing all the dirty work that really a lot of times nobody wants to do, it doesn't get done. There is no such thing as a coffee table fairy. They don't exist, but Kathy does. And it's awesome and amazing in our body of believers that, and I think most of us know this. And here's what's almost ironic in is for her to think about this, like, what do I do? She's like having to think about it. I was like, well, to me, it was a no-brainer. I was like, well, I see all this stuff you do, and I thank you for it, and I appreciate it, and I want you to share it, because as a body of believers, I think it's helpful for us to understand that God is doing stuff in people, through people. You don't have to be an Eric or a Stephen or a Krista or somebody that stands up or a Mike that can worship and that can do these things in front of everybody. And all of us are learning to do it the best we could do, but you can be and do anything that God has called you to do that you might see that needs to be done. Amen? Huh. Amen. Huh. Anything you want to add to that?
Wow.
Okay.
I never looked at it like that.
Oh, God. Well, praise the Lord. I think even though this isn't an individual honor and thanks thing, because it's a God-glorifying thing, because that's who gets all the honor and all the glory and thanks, is God doing stuff in us and through us as individuals for the whole. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So thank you, Kathy, for being obedient. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, and as you know, as Joyce has said that, it's there's an obvious picture of Jesus in people's lives. I see it, and I'm married to an amazing woman that, if I'm not seeing it, she has this gift, and I call it a gift. I call it discernment, spiritual discernment, that is able to see Jesus in almost everybody. It frustrates me sometimes because I'm thinking, I don't know how you're seeing that in that person, but she sees Jesus in everybody and the opportunity for Jesus to do something amazing in everybody. And that's awesome to me, and that's something that, as you know, and she doesn't realize she's going to share too at one point, but that's okay. See, and here's the reason why we're altering all of this. also is because you guys, most of you, if not everybody, knows that Glenn is in the hospital. He's actually coming home right now. Is that correct? Oh, now that all changed. Okay. We got a phone call. Okay. Praise the Lord. Glenn is in, he's still in the hospital then, and it's been since Christmas morning. He's been in the hospital, and just be praying for Linda especially. Glenn also, but Linda's, she's of course, I'm going to have her share. Maybe not today, because I'd like, but her back is just all jacked up. She's like, you know, she's carrying a heavy load right now, so let's just pray for her.
Come. Why
do I have this? Okay. Well, who would? Come here. Let's just pray for you together. I know. See, you just don't move. Father God, just reach out a hand. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Glenn and Linda. Thank you for the blessing that they are, that they have been, and that they continue to be in our lives and in this community and for your kingdom. We ask for a touch from you over Glenn's body right now in Jesus' name. And as that touch permeates his body, his mind, his very soul and spirit, Lord, that you would create in him and that he would be known as and seen as the blessing that he actually is to so, so many. And that he would be a blessing right where he's at in Jesus' name. And then I ask for a healing touch from you in Linda's back and in her body, all the way to her feet.
Yes.
Even just give her a joy that only you could give her, a peace that can only come from you. In Jesus' name, just bless her even very now, this very moment, and this very day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Yep, family, right? Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. So here's what we're going to do. As I said, we're altering what I had ambitiously thought I could do in one Sunday. I was asked about 10 or 12 people to come up and share. I don't know why I didn't do the math. And then there's others that I haven't asked yet, and I just so we're gonna stretch this out for the month. We're gonna be talking about all through the whole year. Hey, let's have fun all year long, right now, right on. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So even like Leslie and Brittany, they're gone or they're at the hospital now. So it's, you know, but that's part of what. You know, like when you get the call on Christmas morning at 6 in the morning that Glenn's got to go to the hospital, you roll with it, right? Amen. So I'm going to ask Terry Bright, come on up here, sweetheart. And I think it's perfect and it's ideal for her to come up and share for a few minutes. As Terry comes on up, you know, she might not share this part of her life, and that's okay, because I'm going to share it for her for a minute. Okay. Oh, thank you. I love all of you, but, you know, I just think she's a sweetheart. Terry, why am I holding this?
I don't know.
Terry and I have had a good relationship. There's sometimes it's been challenging because she tells me the truth. And then I tell her the truth back. And we still love each other. And it's fantastic. It's really fun. It's really great having someone like Terry in our lives. But I she came around and she was somebody that drove for a long ways to come to church here for a long time. A long time. With an unsaved husband, and just it was such a blessing and a testimony to watch her life be transformed, and then her husband Mike come to know Jesus right before he went to go home to be with Jesus. And to us, it's been the joy of our lives as someone like Terry herself, that has been a part of our lives, a part of this ministry for so many years, that's been serving and blessing us, that we were able to bless way back when. And it's just a joy to see her still serving, still loving, still obedient. So, Terry, what do you do at the salt mine?
I refer to what I do at the salt mine as a card ministry. And I try to keep an up-to-date list of everybody's snail mail and email and phone numbers so that, for everybody in the salt mine, so that we can send a birthday or an anniversary card to everybody.
Amen.
One mother shared with me that her 10-year-old daughter was so excited about the birthday card she got, birthday card and stickers from the salt mine, that she took it to school to show her friends what she'd gotten from her church.
Hmm.
I don't think that what I do has any impact on the community as a whole, but hopefully it touches individual lives.
Hmm. Well, okay. Don't go away.
Oh. You said keep it short and sweet.
I did. Because I actually was still thinking I could get everybody in here. I don't know what I was thinking. Yes.
Everybody's surprised that it was that short.
Amen. Thank you. Yes. Let me just... If you don't realize this about us at the salt mine as a church, listen to this, and this is 100% accurately true. The salt mine church is the largest church in the community that very few people attend. I mean that. No, and that's not in jest. It's in the very actual, accurate truth. There are more people that claim that they attend and they go to church at the salt mine that I've never seen on a Sunday morning. And I'm A-okay with that. Why am I A-okay with that? I would love to see them here on a Sunday morning getting fed the Word of God and connecting with community. I know that that is another step. Because why? Because we are a community. We are the salt of the earth. It's resonating with the community, with people that they belong to this organization called the Salt Mine, that is identified as a Christian organization that is doing God's work in this community. The term I hear more than any term about us at the Salt Mine is, you guys do church right. And that's God's glory. Amen. And so when Terry says, I don't think it has any impact on the community, do you realize that the majority of the cards you send out aren't people that go to church here?
We do send. Encouragement.
Amen. Because yeah. It's making an impact on all those that would say they come to church here that have a birthday that has been identified as a member. And hold on one second. I won't forget you, Corby. And it makes a direct impact, because there is this passage. He says, "Those who exhort, do it in their in." Where did it say that? In his exhortation. See, in getting one of these cards, which I get one on my birthday, and I'm very thankful and very glad, and it makes my heart jump a little bit, and it fills it with joy. And as you were sharing about the 10-year-old girl that was so blessed that she got a card from her church, and she doesn't go to church here.
That's true.
That's so awesome, because that's what we're doing. That's what church should be doing, to where it's not our primary mission to get our butts here on a Sunday morning. I know that's risky for me to say that as a pastor that, I look out and I see a lot of empty seats a lot of times. But that's not our primary mission, and I'm okay with that. And yeah, my other pastor friends, they're confused at how I go about this because, and I know Stephen gets it too. He's like, that's not our mission. Is to get, but if you have no other mission other than getting people there on Sunday, then that's important to you. But you see, what's important to us is to bring glory to God to a dying, dark, confused, hurting, ailing world that we live in. And yes, we do it on Sunday morning, but we do it more every day of the week. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It was a little weak, but hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Bless you, Terry. Thank you, Aaron. We appreciate you, and we thank you that you do this, and I thank you, and I know the body thanks you, because it's a member of the body. Amen. Corby, you were going to share something, and I cut you off. I'm sorry.
I was going to say about Terry. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for Terry, I wouldn't know.
Amen. Thank you. As Mark hands us our bulletin, isn't that the first thing you look at? Whose birthday is this week? Yeah, that's Terry's doing. So thank you. It's a blessing. I wanted to. like I said, there's a whole bunch of people that I'm going to ask share. But I'm going to just sum it up in I think I'll share one thing as we get to it as because I like Stephen and even Blake we wear multiple hats, different we fill lots of gaps, and that's good, that's okay, because God's called us to be that to in this community, in this church, in this body. But I did want to have Mike and Suzanne share together, but not this week, so they're going to share. I'm hoping that Glenn will be able to share for a minute. That'd be nice, Glenn and Linda and Leslie and Brittany and all that goes on at our thrift shop. We have this amazing opportunity in the community that God has designed. God, as he saw fit, put us in this community and designed it as it is. And it's pretty awesome and amazing. So I want to get into that a little bit more next week in regards to our thrift shop, which is awesome. So, and even my role in that, because there's many of us that take a role in that, and it's pretty fun. It's exciting. It's an exciting work. And as I'm saying that, me talking about what I do at the Salt Mine, I'll just share a little bit. I'll share one of my hats. This week, of course, you guys know me as pastor, or a pastor, or your pastor, or the pastor at the Salt Mine. Somebody, I think, referred to me as a senior pastor. I'm thinking, that's about it. I know that sounded weird, but it did. I was like, okay, that's about right. But, and this is where I don't know, Blake, are you kind of prepared? Because as I share this, I kind of like Blake to share a little bit for a minute. Okay, give him a second. He's got changing diapers. Cool. One of his hats. Yeah. As pastor here, I listen, and I'll just share this. It's just one of my hats but it's a very important one. It's the prominent hat, as if you will, the one that as a spiritual leader, shepherd, if you will. That's probably the most appropriately correct word, is shepherd, is to have ideas and visions and thoughts and listen to God as the chief shepherd, shepherd me to shepherd us as a body of believers. And I said this last week, and I'm sorry to offend you and continue to offend you in this, is that you're sheep. He refers to us as sheep because we need shepherding, right? Yeah, we just don't figure it out. I think it was about 5 years ago that over in England, I think it was like 1,500 sheep just walked off the edge of a cliff because one started it and they all just followed because they had no shepherd. They just went off the edge of a cliff, right? And I think it was over 400 died, but the other 1,000 or whatever didn't die because they had a nice soft landing when they hit the bottom. But that's not what, so we are obviously in need of shepherding. I am, hello? So that's why God has appointed me, God as he saw fit, to be a shepherd, to be your pastor, to be a pastor of a body of believers. God did it. I didn't. I argued with God. I even wrestled with God because I did not want to do this. I didn't feel like I was fit to do it. And there's many days that I still feel like I am just not capable of doing it. And those are the best days, because those are the days that I can say, in my weakness, you are strong. Because if I was really good at doing this, I probably would make it a little bit more about me. And I don't do that. You guys know that. And that's who I am. And so as your pastors shepherding you in humility, in God's strength, and by God's grace, God continues to give me a lot of visions, ideas, and thoughts about directions for us as his people. I hope you trust me in that, because I trust God to do that in me and through me. And that's one of my hats as a pastor, is to really tap into and search the things of God, the ways of God, for us as a people of God in this body of believers, in this community, making an impact for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask Blake to share, and then we're going to be done this week.
Okay, so he said he casts the vision and he does all the big picture. So I have, my job is to figure out how to implement that. That's probably, I'd say, about half of what I do. And then it's we spend a lot of time figuring out the direction that we're going, how we're going to get there. Stephen, Eric, and I, we spend a lot of time doing that. We figure out whether, we spend a lot of time in prayer figuring out how, whether the directions that we think are the Lord's directions or there are directions. And that's why there's a group of us that do that, not just one person, not just me, not just any one of us, but a group of us do that. We figure out where the Lord is actually taking us, and we filter that out from our own ideas and his ideas. So I believe I'm a big part of that. I also...
Let me... What he said in that is... What he was saying is... He figures out God's given him an ability and a gift to figure out how to do all that stuff. Like, how do we do it? And it's really good to have somebody important like that in our ministry, because you can have all these grandiose ideas without knowing how to do it. And you got to have somebody that knows how to do the stuff that we feel needs to be done. And Blake's really, really good at that. Talented, gifted, and even anointed in doing that.
My other hat is I am called as a teacher. I am not a pastor. I don't preach. I don't want to preach. I will happily teach, though. And I teach on Sunday mornings, and I am very excited to be teaching again on Tuesday night here in a couple weeks.
Amen. But, us too.
But I'm not a preacher.
Amen.
I don't preach.
He's a really good teacher, though. I learn more from him than I do, like, almost anybody, and it's really awesome.
And I don't say that, like, I don't want to speak up here. I'm just fine speaking up here. That's not my gifting at all. I am not a pastor. I leave that to him and Stephen, because they're called to be pastors. I am not called to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. If somebody needs help, if somebody's, you know, mom died or they need a funeral or something, I'll say, okay, go to those two.
Yeah.
I'll help you figure out other stuff, but... and that's just how the ministry works in terms of the, you know, the pastor, teacher, prophet, evangelist, Amen. Apostle. I'm a teacher, and that's what I'm good at, and that's what I love and enjoy, and I love teaching the body. And with that, being a teacher, one of the main things about being a teacher is equipping the body, and I believe that that is my primary call to serve the church, is to equip you guys to be better Christians, to be better people, to be better believers. And that's through knowledge, through service, through whatever it looks like. And I translate that also into my role as the employer, because I do all the administration work here at the Salt Mine. We have 11, 12 employees right now, and I administer that, and so I take that as a role as the administrator, as the employer, and I take that role very seriously, and I believe my job is to support my staff, to support them, to give them all the tools they need mm-hmm. to be the best that they can be, whether it's a minister, whether it's a store clerk, whatever that case may be. And Stephen can attest to this. He's spoiled as a youth pastor because all his, I say, whatever you need to do, Stephen, I'm going to make sure you can accomplish that goal, whether it's,
Amen.
Okay, we need 50 pizzas for, which we've done that before, 50 pizzas for a rally, or we need, you know, to buy some board games for, or a mm-hmm. game system. I'm gonna try to make that happen. You know, I don't want to put any roadblocks in the way and say no. We have to have a meeting and a this and a this and a this. No, we're just gonna accomplish it and make it happen.
Amen.
I strongly believe in being anti-micromanagement. I hate it. I won't do it. We're against that here, and so I'm gonna empower my staff, my employees, my volunteers, the church body. To go do ministry, to go be who they need to be through the power of the Holy Spirit without
Amen. Without any hindrances.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Without Amen. Any hindrances. So that's, and I also work at the thrift shop. And,
yeah, and, one of his hats.
And do a lot of other stuff too, and I have 4 kids, so that helps. yeah, so that's, I do a lot more, but that's kind of the bulk of what I do.
And that, thank you. And that, as he's finishing up there, I think it's really important to understand him sharing that as the equipping of the saints, which that's a lot of where Blake's giftings lie also. And, you know, that does have a direct impact because as we're equipped as the saints, as we're equipped as Salt Mine workers, employees, as brothers and sisters to do his work, we're making an impact in the community. And I think if you ever noticed in different organizations or different corporations or companies where you've walked in, and let's just take, for example, a place like that we might patronize every once in a while is like Chick-fil-A to go and eat. Have you ever noticed everybody there is friendly? It starts somewhere, right? It always starts somewhere. You know, the attitude of a group starts somewhere, and that's where, and the perspective starts. So I know it starts with me, and it trickles down, and even though Blake is one who signs my checks, and I say, I work for Blake, but he says, well, yeah, but you're the boss. So we kind of, it depends on the day or the need of at the moment. We have this really, I think, clear understanding of what we, how we, Blake and I especially portray and how we present us to be to us as a body of believers is how the attitude is in our community. And so that's why the Salt Mine as a ministry as a whole has a very receptive, loving, Christ-like attitude that people recognize in this community throughout. Our rapport in this community is absolutely amazing and top-notch to where we, and that's important to me, not because I want people to see us as good, I want people to see Jesus in us. And that's why that rapport is extremely important to me as the shepherd, the head, the senior pastors. I want, and that's a desire of my heart, is so that people will say, wow, what they do there is what God is doing there. I've seen it happen. I've seen people's lives become transformed. I've seen people's lives go from being in the gutter to now being out and being productive in society. And that actually makes a difference. It's a impact in this community for the kingdom of God. All of the above. And so as we're getting into this deeper and deeper and more, I think it's amazing and fun. My hope is that not only all of us will see it as a little more clear as to there's stuff that happens, there's stuff that goes on in this body of believers that maybe you didn't see before. But again, I'm also hoping and praying that there's some in this room, even here and now, that see a gap that you possibly are called to fill. And that's awesome too, because there's still room for body parts. Amen? Amen. And I think there's many parts missing. I really do. I want them to be filled, because as the more body parts that gets filled, you know, and Stephen didn't say this way, but this is very true, that in him saying, I'm a gap filler, I fill the gaps. And I'm sorry, we're just going to kind of hound in that for a second. What he also was implying in that is, if there's a gap that needs to be filled, I'm there to fill it, because if I fill this gap, that frees up Blake to go do something that he's called to do. That frees up Eric to go and do something that he's called to do. So that's really important. You guys remember that that's how the church started? There's the 12 that were doing all this stuff and all this work, and then they brought in an extra 7. They are called deacons, because they were able to, there was a gap that needed to be filled. God did that. God ordained that. He still does that. He still does church that way. Us as the body, he's using us as body members doing different things that God is called to do, so that all of the glory goes to God, not any one individual member. Amen? Man, you guys keep getting me on my soapbox. You need to stop letting me do that. I'm just kidding. You guys know I love you. You guys know I love the work that we do here. I'm excited about 2020. I'm thrilled about it. I'm nervous about it, because it's going to be challenging. There's going to be trials set in front of us, not only as a church, but also as a community and as a country. We more than ever need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for your love for each and every one of us right where we're at. And you love us so precisely and so intricately that you know us. You see us, you call us, you speak to us. Lord, may our ears be attentive to your voice. May our eyes be focused on you. May our hearts be completely filled with you. And the Lord's compelled me to pray this. I give you permission, Father God, through the Holy Spirit, to circumcise my heart. Cut off the stuff that doesn't belong, the fleshy stuff that's hindering me from my heart being completely sold out, completely surrendered to you. I give you permission. If you're willing, if anybody in this room is willing, you have to be willing to pray that prayer with me. Father God, I give you permission by the power of the Holy Spirit to circumcise my heart, so that my heart can completely be yours. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, be glorified in all we do. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.